As I was listening to the video and I was listening to the song, I feel like the Lord is changing the message that I have, well, the one that I have prepared that you have notes for, we're not going to do. Yeah, I think so too. Still has to do with the idea of identity. We live in a day and time where we are being pressed to identify. We're being pressed to identify as Republican or Democrat or black or white or Hispanic or transgender or male or female or something in the middle of all of that. Folks, if you have trusted Christ as Savior, you already have an identity. Our identity lies in Christ. Now, there are things about us that we wrestle with and we think about and we wrestle with and we argue about, all of those kinds of things going on. But if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, your identity does not lie in where you came from, what family you came from, what problem you came from, what problem you caused. It does not come from that. It doesn't matter if you were abused. That's horrible. Not blowing that off, but that's not who you are. It doesn't matter if you have made the biggest mistake in your family's history. It does not matter. Your identity lies in Christ. I was looking at my family's history, and there were some really neat things that I saw in our genealogy. And one of them was, there was a man in my family who he fought with Ethan Allen, not the furniture store, but the actual guy, Ethan Allen. And you know, they fought in the Revolutionary War and all of those kinds of things. And I thought, man, that's really cool. And as I read further about him, I thought, man, he is a hero. And I kept going. And then I found that he married a woman, and things seemed to be going okay. But in that genealogy, it continued to share his story, and it said that he was a gentleman and a very nice man, and she was not a nice person at all. Wow, where's this going? Because we're going Ethan Allen, war hero, this. So they say that after a while of being married, he ran off into the woods like a crazy man and never came back. I thought, you can laugh about that, that's fine. I thought, wow, okay, now where are we going? Well, that woman went on and married some other folks and so on. We're talking like in the 1700s. Well, this relative of mine then reemerges in West Virginia under his mom's maiden name and marries someone else. I'm going, so this guy goes from hero to all of these kinds of, what caused him to make those decisions? And then do we say, that's who he is? Not only did he have good things about his name, but there were also difficulties about his name. Just like you, there are many of you that have great things about your given name. And there are other things that maybe people don't know, that you keep to yourself, that you don't want to get out because you don't want to be embarrassed. And I get that. We all have those kinds of things. But I want us to know that if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, our identity does not lie in our worst decision. Our identity does not lie in what other people are trying to press on you, whether, like the woman said, you're ugly or broken or whatever. That's not it. Because if we accept those identities, then that's the way we will live. If I identify myself as an angry man, then that's how I'll live my life. If I carry myself or identify myself as an addicted man, that's how I will carry myself. But if I have trusted Christ, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God, just like we sang. I'm a child of God who struggles with an addiction, or a child of God who struggles with anger, or a child of God who struggles with unforgiveness. That's not who I am. My plan was to be in Ephesians chapter 2, but we're going to be in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, because this is going to talk about the heart of when we were identified with Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I don't know why you have changed the sermon. Of course, you knew what it was going to be all along. But I bow myself before you and I ask that you would speak. I ask that you would speak not only to me and show me what you want me to see, but you would speak to every single person in this building and every single person that is online. Lord God, that no one would be beyond your reach. No one would be able to push away from what it is that you are wanting to say. And Lord God, as we have these name tags on, let us remember that our name is not our identity either. That our body is not our identity. That our thinking is not our identity. But if we have trusted your Son, Jesus Christ, then our identity is in him and what you have said about him and what he has said about us and what you have said about us. Don't let us believe the lies of our parents or our friends or our enemies or our politicians or Satan himself. God, we bow ourselves before you and we beg you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we live in a nation that is collapsing in on itself. And people are being separated in class and color and politics and religion and all of these things. Father, may we who claim the name of Jesus Christ, may we who have your Spirit in us be unified in Christ. Father, we lay this at your feet in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 6. If I say Ephesians, I'm talking about Romans. Romans chapter 6. So the Apostle Paul is writing to Roman believers. He's writing to these people who are struggling. He has gone through Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3. Of course, they didn't have chapters then. But it's the idea of if you are a pagan, if you are a religious person, chapter 3, if you are a moral person, all have sinned and fall short of the standard of God's perfection. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So every single person in here, no matter where you're from, we have all, every single one of us, missed the standard that God expects, that he demands, which is perfection. You say, well, I'm pretty good, but we have to be perfect from birth in our attitude, our actions, our thoughts, every single thing, all of our relationships. Well, that puts me behind the eight ball for sure. We have all fallen short. The Apostle Paul then talks about in Romans chapter 5 that we are justified by faith. That it's not by our own actions. Later in chapter 5, he talks about the idea of Adam's sin and how when Adam sinned, death passed upon all people, for all have sinned. So not only are we sinners in our own actions, in our own heart, we are sinners at birth. I always like to think of the idea of, well, I don't necessarily like to think of the idea, but I think of the idea if the Ten Commandments were a line, it wouldn't matter if you crossed it at lying or you crossed it at murder. You've broken the law of God. But to make it worse, not only have we broken the law of God, we were born on the wrong side of the tracks, as it were. We're born on the wrong side of the law. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says this. Now, the law, talking about the Ten Commandments and more, but specifically we'll think about the Ten Commandments. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass. Again, think of the idea of trespassing. It's the idea of stepping over the line. When I was a kid, I remember going to Tradewell. Anybody remember Tradewell, the stores? Okay, so some of you are old like me. No. I remember going to Tradewell with my grandfather, and I wanted one of those big bouncy balls. Yeah, you can. If you bounce it, you can hear it. Some of you can imagine that sound. I wanted one of those. No. Finally, he relented and let me carry one around. I don't know if he was planning on getting it or not, but it caused me to hush. So there we go through Tradewell. And so you think of a 5 or 6 year old, what's he going to do with a ball and a concrete floor? Yes, sir. I start bouncing that ball, and I bounce that ball, and he's saying, stop. I keep bouncing that ball and bouncing that ball. He says, if you do it one more time, I'm going to take it from you. So I bounce that ball, and I have no idea what it hit. I have no idea. I bounce that ball, and it shoots off to the right. And it's headed toward the meat department. It's headed towards the butcher's, back there at the door, the double doors that they come in and out of. And so I'm thinking, I got to get that ball. So I take off running for that ball. And right as I cross the threshold of that doorway, this alarm goes off. Now, it could have been the fire alarm and a coincidence. I have no idea. But for me, I crossed that line. And when I did, that alarm went blaring. And I didn't want that ball anymore. I wanted to get away from that sound. Everybody in the store knew that I had trespassed. I had stepped over the line. It was not my goal to step over the line. I just wanted the ball. I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. I wanted it the way that I wanted it. I was having fun, and it didn't matter what anybody said to me. But when I trespassed, all of a sudden, everybody knows. And the alarm is sounding. Well, may this be the alarm for you. You can imagine that you're in the spiritual trade well, and you have crossed the line. You have trespassed over the Ten Commandments. We have all lied. We have all stolen, taken something that didn't belong to us, or cheated a little bit off of our time at work. Many of us have looked at other people to lust after them. We have disobeyed our parents. We have rebelled against our parents. We've used God's name in vain. We have all of those things we have done, and it comes from our heart because we were born on the wrong side of the Ten Commandments. But we didn't know. I didn't know the alarm was going to go off at Tradewell. Other people knew, but they didn't tell me. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, verse 20, the law came in. The reason God gave the law was so that the trespass would increase. What? That's not why you think of the law coming. But as we've said before, if somebody says don't, that's the very thing you want to do. When my grandfather said, if you bounce that ball one more time, that is the thing I wanted to do. I'm glad as an adult I don't feel that way. Yeah, right. The law came in to show us the trespass, to increase it. If you think of young boys or young girls playing soccer or maybe playing basketball, and they're just playing on somebody's lot, and they're shooting, and they're just having fun. They don't know if they've broken the rules. Now, somebody say, oh, that was a foul. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But if you put them on an official court, and you have that court lined, or you have that soccer field lined, and you put referees there who enforce the rules, all of a sudden, all of the things that these kids were doing are apparent. So it is with the law of God. When it came, it became very apparent how broken we are apart from God. But he goes on. Thankfully, he didn't leave us there. He says, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The idea is it superabounded. So that sin reigned in death, The wages of sin is death. But in grace, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, every single person in this room has sinned. Even if it's one time, but we all have, and it's been more than once. We need the grace of God because His standard is perfection. We fall short. We stepped over the line. The alarms have gone off. Everybody knows it. God specifically knows it. And people say, God is mean because He gives us those rules. God is mean because He won't let me do what I want to do. He won't let me be who I want to be. God is mean. No, God knows that if He allows us to continue to do what we want to do, the way we want to do it, to think the way we want to think, we will destroy ourselves. He says, I love you too much. And He didn't say, so here's the plan. From heaven. He rolled up his sleeves and he said, I'm coming. He heard his child. He heard his children. And he said, I'm coming. He came in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, our God, came and got His hands dirty, and lived His life among people like us. Actually, it's like the other people. You know, there's people that are worse. Like us. And He says, I know you can't get to me, so I'm running to you. And not only did He come to help, He came to save. God knew that we didn't just need more education. Education is helpful, but education does not change us eternally. God knew that we didn't need just medicine to make us better. He knew it would help, but eternally it wouldn't change anything. He knew that we needed saved. We needed rescued. And He knew that He was the only one who could rescue us. We only have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? I mean, good grief. If grace abounds when we sin, it says, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means. The King James says, God forbid. Absolutely not. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? That is a convicting statement to me. Do you not know, which means that some people didn't, and maybe you don't. Maybe you don't realize it. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We have been placed in His death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, we were part of that. Now, it was not a physical death because we can look at our hands and there are no nail prints. It was not a mental death because we still think sinful thoughts. But in our spirit, where life comes from, that part of you that when your body dies goes to be with God if you have trusted Christ. In that part, we were buried with Him and raised again. That's where your identity lies. Your identity does not lie in your body. Your identity does not lie in your scars. Your identity does not lie in your tattoos or your hair. It doesn't lie in any of those things. It lies in Jesus Christ. So he says, do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him in baptism into death. Now, this is not talking about you being baptized by water and being saved. It's the idea of being placed into what's going on in Him. Baptized into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk and newness of life. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been given new life. You may not live out of it. But if you have trusted Christ, you have been given a new life, a new name, a new identity, a new future. And it is a good future with Him. Verse 5, he says this, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly, ain't no doubt, be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Now buckle up, because here's where it really gets serious. Not that that wasn't serious, but listen to this. We know, not we think. The Apostle Paul says, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. We have been set free, free indeed, as the song just said. So listen to what he's saying. He's saying, we who have been baptized together with Christ in a death like His and have been raised to life in a life like His, those who have this new life know, and if you don't know, may you know today, that your old self, where you used to get your identity, has been crucified. When you think of the idea of crucifixion, even if we take it off of the idea of Jesus and just go to the Roman soldiers and think of what the Roman government would do with the cross, what they would do with the cross is they would kill. They would shame. They would mercilessly put someone to death. That old self that you have been carrying around, that old stuff that your parents have said to you, or your teachers have said to you, or your neighbors, or your spouse, or your work, your boss, those things that they have said where you don't add up, where you are stupid, where you are ugly, why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be? Why can't you be? All of that is crucified on the cross of Jesus. That is not who you are. You are a child of God. When we look at the Word of God and we see all of this, we have a decision to make. Am I going to hold on to the identity or identities that the world has given and pressed upon me? Am I going to take that identity of I am less than other people and hold it on me? Are we going to take out that name tag and write loser, lazy, angry, rotten child, rotten adult, useless, and stick it all over our bodies and walk around and go, this is who I am? And when somebody says, you're lazy, you go, yep, right there. You're ugly. Oh, well, I don't have one that says that, so I need to add that. That's what we walk around like. But if you are a child of God, you are forgiven. You are set free. The passage in Ephesians that I was going to look at has the idea of if you have been buried with Him and raised with Him, it's not that you now just walk around and hope one day you'll get to see Him. It says you have been seated with Him, with Jesus, at the right hand of the throne of God. But we don't believe it. We're writing out our name tags, our identities, and we're putting them on over and over and over. My parents rejected me. So this is how I'm going to live. My friends have rejected me. This is how I'm going to live. I got fired from my job. This is how I'm going to live. That's not who you are. God loves you. He loves you so much that He poured out His life on the cross. He poured out His life on the cross for you and for your neighbor and for that parent that said stuff to you and to that spouse that said stuff to you. All of us. And when we place our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we believe in His death and His burial and His resurrection. We are included in that. And God looks at you and goes, ah, there's my child. There is my child. There's the one that I love. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. He accomplished what He needed to accomplish. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Think of the idea of dominion. I think of guys wrestling, and one wrestles the other to the ground and has dominion over that person so that they can't get up, and they actually have their life in their hands. And death has dominion over us apart from Christ. But when Christ died, it did not have dominion over Him. No, God said, come on, get up. The stone rolled away, and Jesus ascended, or resurrected, I mean. He didn't have to roll the stone so Jesus could get out. He rolled the stone so we could see that Jesus wasn't there anymore. That's what God did. Death does not have dominion over Jesus. Death is defeated. Now, we may die physically, but if we've trusted Christ, we will not die spiritually. The idea of death spiritually is separation from God, alienation from God. It's how we are normally born onto this planet, separated from God because of Adam's sin and our sin. But when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God comes and gives us new life. So that, yes, this physical body may corrode and die, but our spirit will not. And one day, we will be with Jesus and see Him face to face. But until that day, know that you are now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father in Christ Jesus. Not will be, not might be, but you already are. Paul goes on and says this to the Roman believers. He says, for the death He, speaking of Jesus, the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives unto God. Jesus paid it all. Jesus defeated death, and He defeated sin. He did it once. That's all it took. But He lives a continual life unto God. Now, we're not saying that Jesus sinned. No, He took our sin and defeated it. He took our neighbor's sin and defeated it. He took our enemy's sin and defeated it. Sometimes that still makes me mad. But that's my sin. Listen to this. He says, for the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We hear it and we go, well, sure Jesus died, and sure Jesus rose, sure He defeated sin, but I'm still living in it. So you must also consider. That's not, let me think about it. The word in the Greek actually has the idea of reckoning, like reckoning a checkbook. Do y'all still do that? Take what you owe, or what you made and what you owe, and you get the bottom line, which is either zero or negative. Anyway, that's the idea. We take what we owe and what He paid, and we bring it down and go, we are to reckon ourselves to be like Jesus. But the problem is this: we identify with our sin. We identify with sins that have been done against us. We identify with sin that we've done in cooperation with other people. And we live out of that saying, I'm a sinner, 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 I am a sinner saved by grace, but yet I'm a sinner. No! We are saints because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of your actions, not because of my actions, but because of what God did. He lavished mercy on us. Lavishing is not drip, drip, drip. Lavish just keeps coming. And he is rich in grace and rich in mercy and rich in love, and it keeps on coming through Jesus. If you want to know where mercy and love and grace, you want to know where the spout is for that, it's Jesus. I remember being up in Canaan Valley, and in Canaan Valley, as you're going past, I think toward maybe Harmon or something like that, headed towards Blackwater Falls, you can stop, and there are people filling up bottles with water, because that water comes out of the mountain, out of a spring, and you could just drink it right there. Oh man, it's refreshing, it's cold. When we were in Costa Rica, they said, don't drink the water. It's not refreshing. It might be cold, probably wasn't. But that's why we went. We took filters to filter the stuff out. And we would use that filter as a picture of Jesus, filtering out the garbage of our life so that we become pure. So if you want fresh water, you go to Canaan Valley and get it out of the mountain. If you want contaminated water, you can go to the Ohio River for that matter. You don't have to go to Costa Rica. You got to know where the spout is, where grace and love and mercy comes. And it's Jesus. It is not your works. That's a different spout. It's not your family. That's a different spout. It's not your identity on your own. That's a different spout. There may be stuff coming out of there, but it's not life-giving. No, the only life-giving spout is Jesus. Because God said that He sent His Son so that we could be forgiven of our sin and be given new life. So you, believer, must consider yourself to be dead to sin. That doesn't mean sin doesn't buzz around, but you're dead to its effect. It does not have authority over you. It does not have authority over us. And I forget. That's why I've got to spend time in the Scriptures to be reminded. Because something will hit me on Monday, and I'll act like it's a Monday. Rather than remembering. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to its effects as I press into the person of Jesus Christ, as I rely upon the Holy Spirit. Believer, are you relying upon the Spirit of God in your life, or are you relying upon your way of doing things? Because your way and my way of doing things will get us in trouble every single time. But when the Holy Spirit is guiding us, He will convince us of the truth. He will show us who we are in Christ. He will remind us. And when we are sinning, He's going to say, Scott, that's my name if you don't know. Scott, that's not who I am making you to be. That's not who I have made you to be. That's why that there's that inner conflict in your life as a believer when you're walking in sin, when I'm walking in sin, because I'm not walking in obedience to the Spirit of God. And you know, just in regular old life, when you're faking, how you feel. And that's how it is for us as believers. When we're living in contradiction to who Christ died for us to become, who the Spirit of God has sealed us to become, who God has promised to make us. He has promised to make us like Christ. I heard a guy say one time, he said, you are either being made into the image of Christ, or you are being made into the image of Satan. And I was like, so there's no in between. You're moving one direction or the other. What is he talking about? It's not the idea of becoming like Jesus and growing a beard and wearing robes. And it's not that idea. It's his character. It's his love for God. It's that desire to be with God. It's that desire to share the message of the kingdom, of the good news of Jesus with other folks. and all of the other things that Jesus said. There are so many things we could pull in. But what's it look like to be made in the image or being made in the image of Satan? It doesn't mean you're sprouting horns and, oh, look, I got a pitchfork. Where'd that come from? That's not Satan. That's a cartoon. Who is Satan? Satan is the one that said, I think I can take God. As a matter of fact, I am taking God. I will exalt myself above the throne of heaven. I will be God. I will have my way. That's the image. If we have trusted Christ, we must consider, we must reckon, we must live the truth that we are dead to sin and alive to God. He goes on and says this, we're almost finished. He says in verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. He says, you have been set free from the power of sin. Doesn't mean sin doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that it's not going to keep come knocking. He said, but don't offer yourself as an instrument of sin. You would obey its passions. Imagine that you live in an apartment and you pay rent to a landlord. And you get an opportunity to move. Maybe you buy a house or you get a different landlord and you move to that one. And 2 months later, you hear at your door. And you open the door and it's your old landlord. And he says, hey, I came to get the rent. You can leave. You're not my landlord anymore. You're not my boss. So you can go away. If you've trusted Christ, sin comes knocking at your door and saying, hey, rent's due. You want some of this? You're not my Lord anymore. As a matter of fact, I've heard some people say, let Jesus answer the door. I thought, wow. Let the Spirit of God answer the door. Folks, as believers, we are to flee from temptation. Resist Satan. Don't get that backwards. Don't resist temptation because we can't. You run from it. I am to run from it. I am to resist Satan by going to God. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members, your body parts is the idea, as an instrument for unrighteousness. Sometimes it's not that it's knocking. Sometimes we go to its door and we knock. We say, I remember the way I used to live. Can I have a little bit of that? Paul said, don't. Don't present, don't put yourself in the place where your body is going to be drawn to these things. Because that's not who you are. You're a child of God. He goes on and says this, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And your members, present them to God as instruments of righteousness. Now listen to this. We talked about the law coming so that sin would increase. He says this, for sin will have a little dominion over you. No, it says no dominion over you since you are not under the law. You're under grace. Your identity is not under the law, Christian. Your identity is under grace. Therefore, we can follow God, not trying to gain His righteousness because it's already been given to us, not to gain more forgiveness because it's already been given to us, not to gain a new name because it's already been given to us, but out of worship and thankfulness and praise. So the question for you, Christian, which identity are you going to choose to live out of? The one that the world is pressing upon you? The one that people have given you? The people that the identities that people have suggested to you? Or what God says? Most of the time, people give you an identity because it's easy for them, it's helpful to them, it builds them up, it tears you down. they get something from it. But God gave you an identity, and it cost Him everything. He loves you. He loves you. If you're here and you don't know Christ, now, Christian, don't start, okay, that's the sign, landing gear is down, we're getting ready to come in for it. Now, I encourage you to begin to pray for folks that maybe you know that are here that don't know Christ, or your neighbor, or ask God, God, put somebody in my heart to pray for that they would know Christ. But if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you have no choice but to live by the identities everyone else gives you. Because it's free game. And those identities, most of the time, are meant to put you in under dominion, to put you in some kind of bondage or under some kind of control. And the only way out of that is by going to the spout where love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness flows. And that is Christ Jesus. Jesus came and He lived a life that was perfect. He came and He died on the cross, on your cross, on my cross. And if we will trust in what He did, if we will turn from our sin, turn from living our own way and turn to Him, our sins can be forgiven. Again, it's as easy as ABC, but it's as difficult as surrendering to God. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you have lived your life in a way that is opposite of God. That's what I have to do. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and He rose again to give new life. A lot of times that's where we stop. But there's C. Confess Him as Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your sins can then be forgiven. That doesn't mean that I've got it all together and you don't. No, I had to do the same thing. I had to come to the same way. I had to drink from the same spout. And it is Jesus. And on the day that you trust in Christ as your Savior, you will realize that your identity has been changed, or you will grow in your understanding that it has been changed because of Christ. The question for you is, will you say, not today? Or will you say, yes, today is the day of salvation? As we close in prayer, I want you to remember, our identity, believer, is not connected to what people say, what people press upon you, or where you came from. It is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are identified with Him. We're going to pray, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'll be up here. There will be somebody in the prayer room. Prayer room is right through the door by the flag. They would love to share Jesus with you, so that you can know more. Let's pray. Father, this was not my plan, which is probably better. There's no doubt. Lord, there are people in here that they have been insulted and they have been gossiped about. They have been run down by other people. And they have taken that as their identity. That they're a loser, or a cheat, or an adulterer, an addict, gossip. But if they've trusted You as Savior, they've been forgiven of those things. May they live in the forgiveness that You have given. May they worship You and praise You for that. May they realize that their identity is in Jesus, and may they become so hungry. May we become so hungry to know who we are in Christ that nothing can stop us. Father, I'm praying right now that Your Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of every single person in this building, every single person that is online listening. Speak to us now. Draw us to Yourself, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for surrender. that recognition of who we are in Christ, who you are making us to be, and who you've made us to be. Father, for that person that is listening right now and they're saying, nah, I don't buy this, I ask that you would convince them now, Lord. Not me, but that you would. For that person that's holding on and they say, I'm not ready to trust Jesus, I ask that you would show them their need of you and your love for them. And may we as believers, when we leave this building, still be the church and declare the message of Jesus Christ, His love and His grace and His mercy for sinners. Yes, Lord, help us to share that we are sinners apart from Jesus, that we have broken the law, but that there is grace. Father, I ask that your Spirit would speak to us now. In Jesus' name.